With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $500 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. Are you the best football bettor in the US? Odds Crowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contests. Every week there's a $350 NFL contest and a $250 contest. Go to oddscrowd.com to sign up. Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name's Malcolm Bamford. Over in the northeast of England in sunny Newcastle, I am probably the only one on the SGPN network this week who sounds like I haven't been in the Second World War trenches for a week. Because for the bits I've heard today, everyone has been in Vegas and everyone is struggling a little bit. So one man who was there and can fill us in on what went down. We've got to check if he is both financially and economically stable, and emotionally, actually, more importantly. Munaf Manji, back in Houston, Texas. Munaf, how are you doing? And are you financially and emotionally in one piece?
Financially, I am in a good piece. I can say I came up a little bit over the weekend, but emotionally, you know, it's always tough when you're leaving Vegas and, you know, first time meeting Sean Ryan, Go Bearcats was out there, Terrell Furman, our college guy, our NBA guy, Colby Dant of the football and basketball college experience.
Is that Pick Dundee?
Yeah, Pick Dundee.
I saw the video there with a hat, man. It made me laugh.
Cousin Mush, and then our friend of the show, Bowser, was also out there. And, of course, a good buddy of mine, Boston Capper, was also out there. So got to meet some of the D-gens, and it was a great time, I can say. I'll tell you that much. It was a great time meeting and hanging out with the guys and getting to know them on more of a personal basis. I will say this. I thought Sean would be a little shorter than I thought he was, but he's about 6 feet. And I thought Kramer would be a little taller than he was, but here we are, right? And but it was great, guy. I mean, great guys. Hopefully, you know, sometime in the near future, more of the D-gens get out to Vegas. But it was a great time. We watched college football on Saturday. Had a little company dinner on, I believe it was Saturday night, and then Sunday we were at we're watching NFL and all crazy stuff happening. Mushed on a couple bets, won a couple bets, but it was a great time.
I feel like I was there. Obviously, everyone was posting various videos and things like that. I know exactly what you mean about perceiving Sean. In my head, Sean's about 5'3", and Ryan looks about 6'4". Right. Like maybe it's the camera angle or something where they both sit when they're doing the YouTube recordings. But absolutely right. And then I listened to the NFL recap show today, where they go over the weekend's bet, how everybody did, and they both sounded absolutely defeated. The enthusiasm and the joie de vivre that the boys normally have just wasn't in their voices after five consecutive nights in Vegas. It was funny.
Yeah, well, Colby, Sean, and Ryan were out there since, I believe, last Tuesday. But the boys were working Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm sure if you saw that, they were recording out of the Wynn Studios, the Booth Blue Wire. I mean, absolutely beautiful facility. I stopped by Wynn to check out the studio. They're absolutely beautiful. So, and they were also on, I think the local news also covered it and about the opening of the studio, and the boys were on featured on there. So, you know, congrats to SGPN and Sean and Ryan for, you know, from where they started 10 years ago for them to be now where they are. It's crazy to see. I mean, I only got involved maybe last season with NFL, but you know, the conversations I've had with Sean and Ryan over the weekend, it's just incredible to see where they started and where they are right now. And a lot more things are going to happen for them for sure. And it's only onward and upward for SGP and SGPN.
Yeah. The content's great. Cause I think everything we do, it's a balance between being entertaining, because no one's going to listen to anything that's not. I'd rather lose my money, frankly. I'd rather be entertained and lose a couple of quid than be absolutely bored out my tree and win £20. That's not, you kind of invest in the thing. But however, the people that we've got involved just turn a profit. We've got good analysts. We've got that rare combination. I know, obviously, the MLB's been a bit of a grind. My horse racing stuff tends to be okay. Billy on the Soccer Gambling podcast. Billy's got a ridiculously good record. And then, the new NFL stuff. You chipped in with the NBA. That we've had the runs on the first half unders and things like that. Yeah. So it's a very unusual combination of top-class entertainment, good analysis and picks, and everyone's just a lovely crowd of people as well. So, yeah, delighted to be involved with it. And it sounded like a fun weekend. I just said to you off the air, Moonaf, I need about $4,000 to get across for the next one. So that is what we'd... I need a little money meter, one of those little thermometers that they have in like a charity fundraiser. So every time I land a little pick, we'll put it in the pot and we'll try and get me out there for the next one.
There we go.
So with everyone being away, we're going on a bit of a... We're going on short rest this week, Moonaf, or long rest, depending on which end of the week you're starting on. We're recording here on Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
It's 8:45 in Newcastle, England. I've no idea what time that makes. 2:45, is it?
There you go. You got
it. Yes, we did it. We've done it. It's only taken 6 months. I'll get it wrong again next week. So we missed our Sunday night. Your Sunday night was NFL. Everyone was having fun. You were traveling back yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a relatively truncated show tonight. Give some picks out that'll cover Wednesday and Thursday. And then we'll be back to cover the weekend as well. But as always, I mean, we haven't really got much to cover in terms of last week's picks, because I mean, this part of the season, I was stymied twice by pitching changes.
Yeah.
I had Trevor Rodgers, or was it Trevor Rodgers or another Rodgers? There's so many Rodgers.
Trevor Rodgers.
I think it was Trevor Rodgers. Mm-hmm. On Friday, and Hernandez went on Saturday for the Marlins, Alicia Hernandez. And even my dog went to pot because Paolo Espino for the Nationals was changed to Patrick Corbin. So I had two non-runners, which some people might say after the run I've had isn't no bad thing. Actually, I think I was 4-0 before that. So
yeah.
They've halted my momentum slightly. You got a void in your dog, but got your lock over the line, Moonaf. So of those three voids, you did manage to get the one pick that started. You did manage to get a win.
Yeah, and I think we also kind of need to put a disclaimer, and I've said this before, is that if you're, you know, betting our picks, it's always going to be on the listed pitchers, right? And sometimes we're fading a pitcher that we're betting on that particular game we're betting on, or it's, you know, a pitcher that we're backing to. So just make sure that, you know, it's the listed pitchers that we're talking about. And again, you know, Malcolm just said he had two pitching changes, so his bets got void, and along with my dog, right? It also was a pitching change for myself. But the one I did get across was the Giants run line versus the Cubs. I'm really surprised that this wasn't a lot more juice than it was. This game went off on Saturday, and I was able to bet it at the book. It was the Kevin Gausman versus I believe it was Zach Davies, and the the run line was like -140. Team total was at 6.5, juice to the under, but I didn't understand that either. So, and also took the -2.5 alternative line, but that was an easy winner. You know, Giants took care of business there, 15-4 on Saturday. It got us across the board. So between the four picks that we had, we only had one that kind of actually went off with the pitching matchups that were listed when we were making the picks, but at least we got one across. Scott, you know, had a bit of a rough weekend. He went 0-2 on his picks. Saturday, he had the Mariners money line. It was interesting because Chris Flexen, I mean, he's been great all season, especially at home, and he just had that one bad start at home this past Saturday. He went 5 innings, gave up, I mean, he only gave up 6 hits, but it was 5 earned runs. Sure, there were some homers in there on Saturday. Also, his dog was the Mets money line. Mets were kind of in control in this game, but then Trevor May came up and gave up 3 runs in the top of the 8th for the Mets, and the Yankees got the victory there, 8-7. I think it was like 8-7 that they got the victory, but you know, it will bounce back this week. You know, a lot of pitching changes will happen, so be sure to keep that in mind when we are, you know, when you're making these picks, and then listen out for the pitchers that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you said the Giants put up 15 the other night. They're not the only team who scored a lot of runs, Moon. If we move on to stuff that's happened since you've been away and come back. Toronto Blue Jays, Moonaf, what on earth? Talk me through this.
I don't know who's pitching out there for the Orioles. Is it like a little league team? I don't know what's going on out there, but this was, I think when we finished recording, when did we record on Friday, did we?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I think the Blue Jays were trailing in that game. It was a doubleheader game, and I checked the score, and they were down, and then lo and behold, I checked my phone again. I looked at the score, and it was, I think they put up 11 runs in I think it was the second game of the doubleheader, and they won the game 11-1 or 2 or something, whatever the score was. And then the next day, they played the Orioles again. And then I think, believe this was Sunday. And obviously, you know, at the sports book in Vegas, we're all focusing on football because it's NFL week one. I was like, well, let me check up on these MLB scores and see what's going on, because they didn't have a single baseball game on the sports book because it's all football. So I look on my phone and it was like 16-3 or 16 to something like that. And it was like the second or third inning. And I checked my phone again. And it was like 22-7 was like the final score. And I saw a note come across Twitter. I think this is definitely worth mentioning, is that the Blue Jays set an MLB record of scoring 27 runs within a span of 4 innings. Now think about that for a second. That's almost 7 runs per inning that the Blue Jays bats were scoring in the span of those 4 innings, which is a tail end of that game one of that doubleheader and then the next game on Sunday. So I think that was something that I wanted to mention, at least on our podcast, because I think that may have gotten lost in the shuffle of college football and NFL going on. And then you also added the note that they outscored 14 NFL teams on Sunday, which was also on Twitter, which was crazy. But yeah, I mean, their bats, we've talked about this at volumes, Malcolm, that their batting lineup, when healthy and everybody's in there, they can be a team that's one of the best hitting teams, at least in the American League.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just stat after stat after stat. It's terrifying what they've done. Obviously, like you say, they panned the Blue Jays. Panned the Orioles over the weekend. They had, I think there was 11-10 thrown in there as well. Yeah. They've come out of that, though, and they've put 8 up over the Rays last night. Beat the Rays 8-1. The playoff odds on August 27, Moonaf, which is not a long time ago. It's 2 weeks, 2 and a bit weeks. Their playoff odds were 4.6%. So 25-1 shots, effectively. As we speak, Moonaf, they are 70.1%. So they are now well over or minus odds to have made the playoffs, which is absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, led by Vlad Guerrero Jr., someone we were going to mention that hit you put on the show notes, he hit his 45th home run last night.
Yep.
But we're now talking about Triple Crown stuff.
Yes.
Because I've got he's well ahead in the batting average, hitting something like I can't remember. I think I had it in front of me.
Here, I have it. So for batting average, and let me filter this by American League. So batting average, he is number one at 318, and the second place batters are Yuli Gurriel and Michael Brantley of the Astros, yeah, who are at 316 and 315. Obviously, you mentioned he's number one in home runs at 45, just one ahead of Otani,
yeah,
three ahead of Salvador Perez. And then RBIs, he is, I believe, three. No, he's
four behind Jose Abreu.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they continue to hit the way they are, I mean, Jesus, I mean, I think he can get that triple count. Now, the interesting part is, I'm not sure if you see the wins above replacement for him, but I believe he is tied for third in the American League, just behind Marcus Semien, his teammate, and Carlos Correa, and that's on the four-letter network. I'm not sure if you see it on FanGraphs there, but I mean, nonetheless, you know, he's doing well. I think, you know, you're right that this is an opportunity for us to talk about if he is going to get the triple crown. And that makes an interesting conversation for us, is that, let's just say Vladimir Guerrero Jr. ends up with the triple crown. He gets the home runs, the RBIs, and the batting average. Now, who do you give your MVP to? Is it still Otani or is it Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Because I don't remember a last time where a guy who did get the triple crown did not win the MVP award. But when you have what Otani's doing, it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it really is. We're going to have a look at some of the player markets on Sunday night, yeah, I think, on the next podcast that we do, because the MVP, the Cy Youngs and the Rookie of the Year are all still wide open. And even the ones that aren't are sort of parlayable, so you can put two or three together. So we're going to have a look at them and maybe give us a little fun squeeze for the last few weeks.
Yeah, that'll
and be for the postseason. This Blue Jays team is just set up. They look like a playoff team as well, in that the rotation are all in form.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Robbie Ray doing all sorts. We're going to mention him later on, but we might as well talk about that now because he has hit the front moon off with my little sweat. That's my second sweat. I've got my Otani 30-1 and Robbie Ray for my strikeout leader. It's 50-1, and yeah, he is three clear of Gerrit Cole, three strikeouts in front, so we need Robbie Ray to keep going, but they've got to hit the rotation, and they can do all sorts of, they score a lot of runs, and it's not all power. They steal bases, they've got a lot of bits and bobs players, so they do look like a real good playoff team at the risk of sounding like an old man rather than an analytical baseball man. They look like they can do it both ways, which is great. You do need to have a couple of different ways of being able to do something. So yeah, if I was coming up against the Blue Jays, I'd be slightly concerned. So yeah, we'll have a look at that on Sunday night. That'll be fun. A couple of pitching performances of the week. Corbin Burnes led the Brewers to a combined no-hitter,
yeah,
this week. Was that against Cleveland again? Cleveland got no-hit for about the 18th time this season. I mean, every time there's a no-hitter, it's against Cleveland.
That's a fantastic question. I should have wrote that down and see who was up.
Was Cleveland. I think it might be certainly the third time I think there'd be no hit this season, which
you're
is
right.
Preposterous.
It was Cleveland.
Yeah, it's always Cleveland. I don't know how Cleveland are where they are in the standings. Because the only time they ever catch my eye is when they've been no hit again. But anyway, Corbin Burnes went eight, but he did throw a lot of pitches. He was up to,
I think it was like 115.
Yeah, it was a lot. So they pulled him, which was sensible, and let Josh Hader finish it out. But I know you were going to ask me about Corbin Burnes not getting the finish, but I think it was absolutely the sensible thing to do. They're going to need him for the playoffs. The no-hitter is good, but that's all it is. It's a stat, and I think Corbin Burnes will thoroughly understand. I think you had the same opinion, didn't you? You reached the same conclusion as me.
Yeah, and when I saw this when I was back in my room in Vegas and I was looking at, you know, catching about MLB stuff, is when they were doing the post game interview, I saw that through eight innings, like you mentioned, Malcolm, that he was at 115 pitches. And you know, I think it's a lot sensible that, hey, we have bigger goals to accomplish this season, and that's what Craig Counsell, their manager, was saying. And I'm sure Corbin Burns fully understood that. I mean, 115 pitches, that's a lot. And let's say he went out there for the ninth inning, he would probably thrown more than another 10, 15 pitches. So he would have been up to 130 pitches. But, and who knows, that could have risked more injury to him. So, you know, not mad about it. I'm sure Corbin Burns understood, but I'm also certain that he wanted to get that no hitter. But he's having a fantastic season. This is a guy early on in the season we were talking about with all the strikeouts that he was getting. But, you know, another victory for the Milwaukee Brewers that look like they're ready to go in the MLB National League playoffs. No, for them, it's just getting their, having their three guys healthy with whatever they do, right? With Peralta, with Corbin Burns, and Brandon Woodruff. Make sure those three guys are healthy entering the postseason.
Yeah, I think they've missed Willy Adames a little bit. Shortstop's been injured because since he moved across partway through the season, he's been one of the most valuable players in the league for Milwaukee. So they could do with getting him back. Another pitching performance. It was almost a no hit. It was almost a perfect game for Max Scherzer the other night, who just shows no signs of slowing down, and that included his 3,000th career strikeout.
Yeah, this was on Sunday, and I was standing with another guy that was betting the games, and he kept on yelling, "Oh shit! Oh this! Oh that!" I was like, you know, I was trying to figure out which screen he was watching, and I couldn't figure it out. And then he finally taps me, and he's like, "Hey, are you watching that that Dodgers no hitter over there by Max Scherzer?" I was like, "Oh, is that what you're oh shitting about?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So I started paying attention to it. Then I think it was the eighth inning where I forgot who hit a double into right field that kind of lost him the perfect game. But I said at that point, if he would have finished that perfect game, I think you might as well have given probably the Cy Young Award to Max Scherzer for this year. But, you know, again, he's having a great season as usual. Congrats to Scherzer for getting, you know, number 3,000 career strikeouts. I think there's only 18 or 19 players that have done it in their entire career. And now Max Scherzer has entered that conversation or into that club by having 3,000 career strikeouts. So, you know, again, we've talked about this at volumes, Malcolm, that the Dodgers picking up Max Scherzer and Trey Turner at the trade deadline, it almost, we said this last week, that Max Scherzer almost was like a toss into what Trey Turner has done for the Dodgers. But Max Scherzer, I mean, Max Scherzer being Max Scherzer and having him on your rotation, now that we know Trevor Bauer is not going to be there, I think that was a key pickup for them in the stretch run and then heading into the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on, the Giants, the first team to punch their ticket, Moonaf. First team to clinch a playoff spot. I bet that would have been a big price. If that would be a good market to price up, actually, first team to clinch. But the Giants did it and have thoroughly deserved it. Probably haven't given them enough attention here, really. We've been, every time we talk about them, it's only to ask when the Dodgers or the Padres were going to catch them up. But certainly over the last few weeks, we've been talking them up a little bit, starting to root for them. And yeah, they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, who saw this coming, right? At the beginning of the season, I think every MLB bettor or analyst said that this was going to be a two-horse race between the Dodgers and the Padres. And Giants came out of nowhere. They're pitching well. They're hitting well. Not leading in a lot of statistical categories, but they're finding ways to win. And now for them to be, I think, that first team to have 90 wins, clinch a playoff spot. I mean, they've won 8 games in a row that nobody is talking about. It's incredible. So hopefully they're able to clinch this division in the next week or so here. I know that the Dodgers are 2.5 games back, but the Giants are just doing their job of winning games and maintaining that lead in the National League West for them to hopefully get that division title. And it's crazy that they're still 11-1 to win the World Series. I mean, kind of put that into perspective, that they're still not getting the respect I think they deserve.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Obviously, they're a bit of an aging team. And again, people are still expecting them to be found out. Other teams are edging closer. The Astros who haven't actually been playing that well, but really have taken advantage. Oakland have dropped away. Seattle have been doing okay, but the Astros are out to 6.5 games, so their magic number will be coming down. The Braves, 4.5 games. The Phillies and the Mets are both still kind of scuffling along. The Mets were doing okay and then sort of... But they're winning ugly and losing ugly, so I don't think they're going to be able to put it together. I did enjoy the Mets-Yankees series at the weekend, though, yeah. It was a fun series, particularly the Sunday night game, which was the late game. I think it must have been the TV game. So it was an 8 p.m. kickoff at Citi Field. The crowd were well up for it. There was a big crowd there all weekend, actually. Really good atmosphere. And a really sort of a roller coaster of a game, where Francisco Lindor hit 3 home runs. Giancarlo Stanton kept answering for the Yankees. There was quite a bit of chirp. What made me laugh was that on Saturday night they'd had the 9/11 tributes. Yeah. So, and both teams were on the field, arm in arm. The pinstripes were mixed with the Mets players, and everyone was one for New York. 24 hours later, they're all trying to kick shit out of each other in the middle of the field, which was great to see.
So American.
Yeah, it really was. But there was a bit of chit about Wandy Peralta possibly whistling and tipping pitches. I think it was Marcus Stroman was on the mound. And I think that's what Lindor was chirping on about. Giancarlo Stanton addressed it in his press conference and said that Peralta just whistles. That's what he does. It's his way of motivating the team. But they seem to think that he was sign stealing and then whistling to signify what was going on. So Francisco Lindor and... Oh, Javi Baez, your mate. They were both chirping on. So that looked like a fun game as well. I enjoyed all of that. Did you catch any of the whistling stuff?
I did, and I think the baseball or the football game was over, and then the only game was on was the Yankees and the Mets game. And I tweeted this out that after the game was over that we need to have like these crosstown rivalries or these inner city like rivalries every single year, because I mean I think the Yankees and the Mets would do a lot of numbers as far as TV ratings every single year, because there's so much talent on both of these teams, right? I like to talk about Lindor, Baez, when DeGrom's healthy. We would love to see a pitching duel between DeGrom and Gerrit Cole on a Sunday night game. I mean, I think everybody would love to see that. So I caught it, and it was interesting to see. Hopefully we can get it again, sometime in the future. But I was glad to see the Yankees lose, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Just very quickly going off script, Moon. I feel we had that pre-show spider silliness a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm looking, if you can see me frantically waving my arms around, that's because my daughter has now got another spider. I don't know if she's rescuing it or rescuing me, or if she intends to come and throw it on my head, one or the other. Oh, she's rescuing her little brother, actually. He's the same as me. The two men of the house are the soft ones. So she's rescued that spider out of his bedroom. So, yeah. Live spider talk on the MLB Gambling Podcast. The Cardinals, half a game back from the wild card without playing particularly well. Moonaf as well. Still hanging around.
The Cardinals is playing that well, or is there everybody that's in contention for the MLB and National League wild card? Are they just not playing well? They kind of... came out of nowhere, did the Cardinals. Let's see here. It was kind of
they had quite a good start to the season, because I think I took the under preseason and they got out to quite a good start. I thought, oh, I've got that wrong. Then all of a sudden, they were kind of hanging around sort of 480, 490 as a percentage. But yeah, just to be half a game back, it's Cincinnati. I think we mentioned this last week.
Yeah.
And the Cards with their very old rotation.
Yeah, and they've won 5 out of 6, right? And I think you and I talked about this last show, was that you don't have to win 8-9 games in a row. If you're going to win, 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6, especially when some of these races are so tight, that you're going to be right in contention, or you're going to get a lead in that wild card position. And I think obviously one, the Dodgers or the Giants are going to end up with that first spot in the National League wild card. But then there's like about 3 or 4 teams that are really in contention to get that second wild card spot. And now, right now, we're seeing that the Cardinals have that half game lead over, I believe it's the Padres. And the sorry, it's the Reds, but the Padres and Cardinals are only a half game behind. And now the Phillies are 2.5 games behind. So definitely we're going to be monitoring this every single day, and we'll be talking about it every single day because it's an interesting race. And then, you know, kind of the American League we want to touch on is that now we talked about how the Blue Jays are hot. They have a 1-game lead over the Yankees and the Red Sox, who are tied for that second spot, and the Mariners and the A's are 2 and 2.5 games behind respectively. So, you know, we'll keep that in mind, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that throughout our shows and our episodes as we get closer to the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a new darling of the show, Moonaf. We talked about him last week, and all of a sudden he's kind of come to a little bit more prominence, and it's Austin Adams, the San Diego Padres reliever. We mentioned last week that he was just hitting everybody. Well, I messaged you earlier on. I said, did you see the innings that Austin Adams pitched on Sunday night? And you hadn't. So this was, Sunday evening just gone.
Yeah.
Came in relief. And he went hit by pitch, double.
Mm-hmm.
Hit by pitch,
which
I think was the one that broke the record for most of the season. Then he K'd the next guy. Then hit by pitch again. So he added three on. He added three on in that inning. So he's now up to, he's hit 23 batters, which is 7 more than Joe Musgrove, who's in second place. Now it's the most anyone's hit since a fellow called Jack Warhop, Moonaf,
yeah,
who hit 26 batters in 1909. However, Jack Warhop threw 243 innings to hit his 26 batters. Austin Adams has done it in 48 innings. I mean, it's absolutely outstanding. So we really need to keep an eye on this.
It's crazy that now we'll say that innings disparity again. He got it done in how many innings, and what was their previous record?
The
243.
The record for our man Jack Warhop was 243 and a third.
Okay.
Adam's done it in 48 and two thirds, so 195 less to hit everybody.
That's amazing. That's really amazing.
I need to set my MLB app up to get an alert when Austin Adams comes in, so I can see how many guys he plunks over the next few weeks. So, yeah, that's something we'll absolutely keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Finally, Moonaf, before we move on to some picks, our underdog, September underdog that the Consig put us on to, it started okay, then we had a little wobble, then we got a right good heater. And I think, it hasn't balanced out. It's still going. It's green arrows. It's all going up.
Yeah, I think we left it off on the 9th, I believe. And then over the next 4 days, just quickly off the numbers, it was September 10th, minus $452, but they came back the next day. And the dogs were plus $455. And then September 12th on Sunday, plus $163. And then yesterday, minus $290. So a little bit of loss over the dogs, but you're still up for the month close to $1,000 or a little above $1,000 if you were blindly just taking dogs. And I think there's been a couple of lines out there that you're seeing minus 108s and minus 102 coming back on the other side. So that hasn't been put into the equation. We're only looking at plus dogs and minus dogs. So we'll keep tracking it, and we'll update it every week. But I've blindly been putting a little bit on every single dog, every single day. There's been some pretty big dogs that I've been hitting at north of plus 200. I think Colorado was an example when they went into Philadelphia. I think they won 2 out of 3 from there. So, you know, if you have an account where you can, you know, put $5, $10, $20, $25, depending on your bankroll, you know, I would suggest keep doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. $1,061 for 13 days is not to be sniffed at.
Yep.
At all, Moonaf.
100%.
Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. exclusive rewards right at your fingertips, getting on all your favourite teams, players and sports. Great promos, odds and payouts happening right now at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning. We're also brought to you by PicksWise, the number one app for sports betting picks, helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring sports fanatics, giving you the who, how and why behind every prediction for every game, every day and every sport. Loaded with the best bets, props and parlays, you can find in-depth analysis on every game, all for free. Found your pick? Search the latest sportsbook promotions to sign up an account, compare the odds and finally place your bets. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. PicksWise backs responsible gambling. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. By cutting out retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs to get passed down. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. Keep the same phone number. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/sportsgp. That's mintmobile.com/sportsgp. Okay, Moonaf, like you said, we're going to keep it relatively short. Actually, there's a little bit of Champions League going on. We don't often have live football, Moonaf, when we talk. It was Bayern Munich have just gone 2-0 against Barcelona. Tell me that you filled your boots on Manchester United against Newcastle United. We talked about that. Yeah. What angle did you take on that one?
I absolutely just took the over on. I took the over on the game, and then I took Manchester United team total over. I think it was at 2.5. So
yeah,
I think they got out to, I think Ronaldo put in 2 early on, and then I think they got, I think, 2 more in the second half or something like that.
We equalized actually. We got it back to 1-1 in the 54th minute, much to the shock of me particularly and everybody else. Looked like we were going to spoil the party for about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they ran away again. And but we're on TV on Friday night against Leeds. So there's another opportunity for you, Moonaf. I would just be taking everything that starts with Leeds on Friday night.
Newcastle, they're always good for at least one goal, at least one in every single game.
Yeah, but we always let in 4, which is a drawback. Picks for the weekend then. You're saying we're at the point where we're seeing favourites of upwards of 150 or more. And the Consig said that this is the dog month, Moonaf.
Yeah, this is a dog month. So it kind of gets tough to pick, you know, locks that are going to be like reasonably priced. And, you know, not making excuses, but, you know, how we're talking about, you know, it's a month of the dogs, right? And how we're kind of keeping track of it. So, you know, I'll keep that in mind because we're seeing, you know, some of these plus 200 dogs that are cashing, like the Rockies being the Phillies, and you know, you'll have your, I don't know, the Indians winning a game here and there, and the Diamondbacks, again, you know, a team that we've talked about at volumes, that's another team. You know, Pittsburgh can squeak off. Detroit Tigers are another team. So did you want to talk about a couple series here that we might be want to looking out for until Thursday? I know it's already Tuesday, so some of these are kicking off, but I think the one for me is probably going to be the Cardinals versus the Mets. I think that's one. That's a big implications on the wild card series or wild card positioning. Padres and Giants. I think Giants already won last night. They play again tonight, and I think that's probably the only. Boston and Seattle was the other one.
Tampa Bay in Toronto.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, because obviously Tampa Bay look home and host in that division. We've talked about Toronto and an absolute heater. Beat them 8-1 last night. Robbie Ray going tonight against Michael Wacker. So yeah, that'll be a good series. Some fun pitching matchups. You're looking at like you say, these wild card races. Cincinnati get Pittsburgh, and the Cardinals and the Mets. I think looks like one of those teams is going to have the heart broken this week by the other one. So interesting to see where we end up. In terms of picks, Moonaf, we've actually ended up with three from us, not four. And I'll tell you why. My lock was exactly the same as your lock.
Okay,
and
there we go.
Double I lock. Didn't look at the notes while I was bothering to make my pick. So we're going to go with a double lock, the very rare double lock. Just because, like I say, it's a short week for us. We're on short rest. We're going to be back before the weekend. So we're going to have one lock and a couple of dogs because it's. Have you got two locks as well?
Yeah, I got two locks. I didn't have a dog.
What's going on? We've just thrown the script out the window here, Moonaf.
Yeah. That's why I messaged you. I was like, yeah, do we want to do a double lock or, you know, the usual or one pick because we're short or. And you're like, no, we're going to get as many picks as we can. So I was like, you know what?
Yeah, I was being very flippant. And then I picked the same one as you. I didn't realize you picked two.
Like, I'll go,
Moonaf.
I'll go double lock. I don't have a dog, but I'll go double lock. But okay, let's start with our double lock. Malcolm, what do you think about that? Let's do that. Wednesday, tomorrow, we're both on the Phillies money line versus the Cubs. And it's Ranger Suarez versus Alec Mills. I think first we kind of preface it that if this was like an Aaron Nola or a Kyle Gibson going up against the Cubs, I think this would be a much, much higher price north of 200. I think that Kyle Gibson goes tonight for the Phillies and I think he's at minus 200. So, hopefully Ranger Suarez is around that 140, 150 mark, but, Suarez quietly 6-4 with a 1.38 ERA. Perfect 5-0 record at home he has for the Phillies. And we've talked about how the Phillies are in that divisional race or that wild card race. I mean, this is the type of teams that they kind of need to beat up on and get the victories against the Cubs, right? And if they're going to get back in the division race or make some noise in that wild card positioning, this is the type of wins that they need to get. Phillies 3-1 this season against the Cubs. And like I said, on the mound for the Cubs is Alec Mills. 6-6 record, 4.35 ERA this season so far on the road, 2-4 with a 4.29 ERA. So he did face the Phillies this season once. He went 5 2/3 innings, allowed 5 hits, 3 earned runs. So, but I think, you know, there's been such a roster turnover for the Cubs since the post-trade deadline. I mean, they've won a couple games, but I think they're kind of down there with the Orioles and the teams like the Pirates. So, we're both going to be taking the Phillies money line tomorrow, Wednesday, against the Cubs as our lock. Did you want to add anything to that, Malcolm?
No, just Ranger Suarez. I think obviously came out of the bullpen since he joined the rotation. He's only given up more than one earned run on one occasion, which was the D-backs back on August the 18th. But since then, it's one earned run, 1-1-0-1. The September ERA is 0.82. That August ERA, 2.03. Just rock solid. Absolutely happy to take him. Carry on, Moonaf. Give us lock number two.
Yeah, my second lock is going to go Wednesday also. It's going to be the Oakland A's money line versus the Royals. Sean Manaea versus Mike Minor. I'm pretty much just fading Mike Minor here. You know, we talked about the roulette strategy earlier in the season. Is that, are you going to be that guy that walks into the casino and bet on the color that just keeps coming up? Or are you going to be the guy that's going to fade it and thinking the other side's going to come? But I'm going to be that guy that backs that same color, meaning I'm fading Mike Minor. The Royals have lost 7 straight games when he's been the starting pitcher. 4-7 with a record with a 5.18 ERA at home. He did have one good start against the A's this season, but that was all the way back in July. But you know, I don't want to put too much stock into that. The A's are 3-1 against the Royals this season. Not much of a handicap on Manaea, but like we talked about, that I'm just fading Mike Minor here. If there is a pitching change, and I want to kind of put this disclaimer out there, is that whoever is matching up against Mike Minor, I will be on the Oakland A's whenever Mike Minor is pitching. So hopefully it is Sean Manaea versus Mike Minor tomorrow night. But, you know, I'm just fading Mike Minor here. And then we're going to go Oakland A's money line for my second lock, which is tomorrow. And then our double lock between Malcolm and myself is going to be Wednesday. Also, Philly's money line versus the Cubs, Ranger Suarez versus Alec Mills.
Yeah, I feel like I've been burned by Mike Minor a few times this season. I just seem to keep getting him wrong. Possibly Kansas as well, I seem to get wrong. But yeah, it just seems to be tailing off a little bit as the season gets on. We've talked before about these older guys who've thrown a lot of innings. So yeah, absolutely with you on that, Moonaf. I picked out a dog which goes on Thursday night, which is Tyler Alexander of the Tigers against Dietrich Enns of the Rays. Dietrich Enns making his second podcast appearance. He was the 13th man to get a save for the Rays when we did our little quiz that I stymied you with a couple of weeks ago. But Tyler Alexander, he's had 11 starts for Detroit, 2-2 with a 4.09 ERA. He's given up just two earned runs in his last nine innings, including one earned run on five hits against Tampa on September the 10th in 4.1 innings pitched. Since he came into the rotation in June, he's actually dropped his ERA. It's down 0.6 of a point from 4.6 down to 4.09. In Detroit, they're actually 31-40 on the road. Kind of counterintuitive. Yeah, Tampa do have a very good home record, admittedly. But Detroit are quite feisty on the road. So I was happy to take Alexander there. And fade Dietrich Enns. So, firstly, Dietrich Enns is a really good story. Seems like a top bloke. He's had 4 years in between his major league appearances. And he got his first win last time out, which was against Detroit. He pitched four innings of no-run ball. He put in long relief again. This is going to be his first start. Like we said, he's actually had a save this season for Tampa. So maybe I think Detroit might just be ready for him this time. He's 1-0 with a 3.38 ERA on 16 innings pitched just. He's given up some runs in some short relief appearance against Boston and Baltimore. And to me, it's got the look of a blow-up start about it. And I don't really know why. That's more of a feel thing, you know, than obviously some analysis. It's got the look of a blow-up start in a bullpen game for Tampa. I think if he goes four, that'll be it max. And then the Tampa bullpen will take over. So I just think Tyler Alexander in Detroit, with a decent away record, and the fact that Alexander's been pitching well and seems to be on an upward curve, I think Alexander and the Tigers can hang with them. And hopefully, as we get quite deep into both bullpens, Detroit, at the big price as well, I think they certainly will be, can get us a win, Munoz.
It's interesting to see that the, and I know I didn't catch this myself, was that the Tampa Bay Rays have lost four out of their last five games, and they lost the rubber game against the Red Sox, and then they dropped two out of three to the Detroit Tigers. And we've talked about how dogs are cashing. I think this is another example that Detroit Tigers are a team that are not laying down against the Rays. And then, you know, just kind of going off of your pick, is that I think this might be a good time for you to get on this fading the Rays right now, because they are kind of cold. And it's kind of interesting to look at their rest of their schedule. I know we could get to that at the next podcast, but yeah, it's just finding those finding some type of edge, because September is a month of dogs. We've been harping on that all month long here on our podcast, is that I think you found that edge. And I think that it will hopefully come into fruition for you on Thursday night, and we'll be able to celebrate a dog victory for you.
It's even just finding a pick that's going to give you a chance, someone that's going to keep you in the game. If you've got two or three dogs going at +170, +180, which they're quite easy to find this time of the season. If you can get into the sixth, seventh inning in a couple of those games with a live shot, that's how you're going to end up on the right side of that +1,061 books that we talked about. So, yeah, absolutely. Just find a player who's going to keep you in it. And I think that combination of Tyler Alexander and Dietrich Enns looks like one that's going to give you a live chance. Scott Reichel has sent his picks in, as always. Good to hear from Scott. And this is what he fetched out for us.
Hey guys, Scott Reichel back here with your lock and dog for the week. Quickly recapping how we did over the weekend. Unfortunately, we went 0-2. Pretty tough beat there with the dog, as we had the Mets money line against the Yankees on Saturday. Led in the eighth inning, and then the bullpen blew it. But happens. We'll look for a bounce back week here. Starting with the lock on Wednesday, I like the Astros and Rangers over 9. These teams have faced off 16 times this season, and 10 of those meetings have had at least 9 runs. Urquidy's pitching for Houston, and he's made 2 starts since coming off the IL, and he has not been good. 7 1/3 innings pitched, 4.91 ERA. Also not going much length. I think he'll struggle in this spot. And on the other end, you have Arihara pitching for Texas. His home stats this season are really underwhelming. 13 2/3 innings pitched, 9.22 ERA. I think Houston should tee off against him. And the over is also 10-4-1 in the last 15 meetings. So I think this total is too low, and I think it should end up going over. And looking at the dog, sticking with Wednesday's card, I like the Cardinals' first 5 money line at the Mets. The Cardinals have won 5 of their last 6 games, and if you look at the pitching matchup, the Cardinals probably have the better starting pitcher. John Lester on the mound, and he's been very good since joining the Cardinals. His last 4 starts, 23 2/3 innings pitched, 5 earned runs. Meanwhile, you have McGill on the mound for New York last month, 27 2/3 innings pitched, 5.2 ERA. And the Cardinals also have done pretty well in Citi Field lately, and just in general, because the Cardinals are 5-1 in the last 6 meetings in New York. So for that reason, I think the Cardinals should get off to a hot start, and I think the Cardinals will end up leading after 5. But that has been your lock and dog for the week. Let it ride.
There you go. Thanks for those, Scotty. And Moonaf, that's brought us to the end of this one, like you see. A bit of a shortened one. The next time we talk, probably on Friday, we will go through all those player preps. We'll try and pick out a couple of fun ones that'll get us through the next month or so of the season. Thank you for listening. Thank you for returning safely from Las Vegas, Moonaf. Subscribe, everybody, wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. And please do leave us some reviews. We need to get more reviews, which means that we'll get boosted up the chart, and Sean and Ryan will allow us to carry on doing this a little bit longer, Moonaf.
Yeah, if we don't get those reviews, we might not be here next season. So if you do like listening to us and talk about baseball and getting down on our picks, definitely please leave us a review. We'll greatly appreciate it. And I think for the show that we're talking about, picking some futures as we kind of end the season, I think Scott's going to join us for that. So it'll be a fun little podcast, like picking his brain and then looking at some of these markets, because I think feel like there's some that are still kind of wide open. And then I think for some of these division, especially the NL East, I think that you can still find some value on maybe a Phillies 9-1 ticket I may have picked up this morning.
You may or may not have picked up this morning.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay then, man. Well, thank you very much, Moonaf. I appreciate you joining me. Sure. When you're still recovering from a chaotic weekend. Thanks everyone for listening. Good luck over the next couple of nights. We'll speak to you at the weekend, and we'll see you down the road. Cheers.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.